bit of review. What is the meaning? What was the meaning of ministry that you guys talked about last week? Service. Very good. Then, as a consequence, what's the meaning of minister? One who serves. Obvious, right? And we talk, there's no negative connotations there, right? A lot of times we think of ministers sometimes in a way in a negative connotation, but this is an open and broad area where we're serving, like ministering to a particular need. Paul says that earlier in Ephesians, quite a bit this class, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. We're created for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So as we minister, as we serve, God has already prepared a path for us to employ the talents that we have to do those good works that are already set before us. It's just a matter of us picking up the ball and running with it. All Christians are ministers, correct? Correct?
Yes.
Okay. All Christians are ministers. Therefore, we have a ministry or a service to perform that is not just limited to teaching someone else the gospel. Is that a work that needs to be done by Christians? Obviously so. Are there other aspects or works that need to be done? Obviously so. Because not everyone is necessarily comfortable or maybe even adept at teaching someone else. But we have that obligation to teach. But how can you teach? Is there more ways to teach than just going up to someone and saying, I want to teach you the Word of God? Can you teach by example? Can you teach by the deeds that you do? And through that, someone may come to ask you why you are different. What's different about you? Why do you do these things? This is Shane's go-to pasture. Scripture for the week. And these, I can't actually read it. Good, I brought my glasses just in case. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Jane was making fun of me because I'm 55 now, and she's seen me as a little boy. This is the one aspect of 55 that I still haven't gotten used to. But luckily, some fonts I can still read, and that one I can. It's little tiny on my sheet. So everyone has received, each one's received a gift. We've each received a gift. What gifts? What gifts have we received? Absolutely. Can you name some? Go ahead.
We've all been blessed the opportunity to hear. We've all been blessed the opportunity to speak. And it's what we choose to do with the interview. Talents, I guess you want to say.
What gifts would you say that, I'll put myself on the spot, what gifts would you say Nick Chapman has? Okay, trust, compassion. Joe's saying teach. Okay. To serve as an elder.
Mentor the young.
Mentor the young. Okay. These are gifts. Yeah, Jim?
The spiritual gifts that were once given to people have evolved and turned into the Bible. What was spoken was once there. So we have the Bible, and a gift that we have is the Bible itself. So we need to study it or talk about it and do this thing. And the person gets up and speaks before, that would be a gift. You can get up on there so people can't even speak before. Agreed.
Yeah, it's a great point. And we're actually going to touch on some of those things in a little bit, but being able to get up here and speak. Darren.
The grace of God.
Grace of God. We've all received the grace of God. Mickey.
We all have gifts that we waste, that we don't
that we could develop. Every one of us, I don't care who it is, there's things to do, and sometimes we don't do it. It's our fault.
And a lot of you have spoke to me, and you say, you look so calm up there. Well, actually, and I'm terrified. Terrified. My hands are freezing cold. Okay. I've learned to control the nervousness. Actually, once you get started, and most speakers know this, you kind of get on a roll. So actually, I'm miserable for like a day or two before, and Johnny can attest to this. But God has given me this talent. And like Mickey said, if I choose not to use this talent, when Shane contacted me and said, can you film the class? And I'd say, no, I get too nervous. That's wasting a talent, because I have the ability. I have the ability to be compassionate. If someone comes up and talks to me about a problem, I say, I really don't have time to listen to you right now. That's bearing that talent. Dean.
You specifically have the ability to listen.
Next. Oh, sorry. Appreciate that. Aaron.
Watching a movie last night, and there's a quote in there, one of the characters said that it's not just talent by itself that's important, it's perseverance and determination. You know, you just have the talent, but if you don't persevere, if you don't have the determination to do it at all, then it's useless.
Edison's? What was Edison's quote? Was it 2% inspiration?
90%.
What is it?
Inspiration.
Oh, yeah. 10% inspiration, 90% perspiration. Yes. Which one's Donna? 1 Corinthians?
1 Corinthians 12:6-8.
There are diversities, and this is, which one did I grab? This may be King James, New King James. There are diversities of activities, but the same God who works in all of them. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. And he goes on, and Shane covered a lot of that through the miraculous gifts. What was your other verse? I'm sorry, Donna. Are you?
Did you read chapter 12, verse 6 through 8?
Yeah. Yes. Mine's the New King James, what I just picked up. I've got two different versions up here.
The other one was 1 Corinthians 12:4-12.
About the gifts of the Spirit. You're talking particularly about the gifts of the Spirit. And some of this touches on actually the spiritual gifts as well. As talking. And the ones that Shane, I know last quarter we emphasized, particularly he talked about wisdom and prophecy being the best of those gifts. And for the unit, especially verse 12, for as the body is one and many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body also through Christ. And we're actually, Donna, we're going to touch on that point, how these different gifts that are employed actually build the body of Christ as well. What if you don't know what your gift is? Is anyone here that doesn't think they have a gift? I know you do. I know you do, Irma, but.
Don't you think, too, though, a large part of what you're talking about here is opportunities?
Yeah, and the thing about that too, which is a great point, those opportunities come, if we don't seize them, they're gone forever. Gone forever. I was sitting, and this is a shame moment, a shame moment. Well, I'll tattle on myself. I was not, at a point in my Christianity, was not very confident in speaking to others. And there's actually someone sitting at a table next to me, and they said, well, what about the Church of Christ? And they said, well, this is what they believe. And it was so tangent from what we actually believe. But I didn't have the nerve to speak up and say, no, we're a small autonomous unit. We follow Christ as our head. We have an eldership. I wasn't equipped at that time to say something to that person. Opportunity lost. And that was my fault because I wasn't equipped. It wasn't that I wasn't old enough to be equipped. I wasn't equipped for that. Charlene? You know what? A lot of people think that, and I'm thank you for actually raising your hand, because there was a lot of people in the audience who probably thought I don't have a talent, but they weren't brave enough to raise your hand. So you're brave enough to recognize that you don't think you do. How did I get a response? I asked. Ask someone that knows you. They will tell you. It was one of the best. I took a leadership class in high school. One of the best exercises we did is that we got in small groups, and especially when you're a teenager, you think, I don't do anything right. And you ask, each of the person was to write down one characteristic they liked about you. How eye-opening is that? Because the things that I concentrated on as a teenager, or I thought that I was good at, were not the things that they admired it. Wasn't it at all. Things completely different. So ask. Yes, Jim. Great points, everyone. Just she's talking about love, hospitality, you know, visiting people, visiting the sick,
giving. These are
the type of talents that we all can employ in our lives, and typically these are the ones that have the biggest impact on other people. These are the things people remember later on in life. And he talked about two broad categories of those things. Remember that? And those, whoever speaks, talk about speaking gifts, whoever serves, some of the things that Vicki was talking about. These are the two broad categories in this verse. And it says, whoever speaks by the as one who speaks oracles of God, and whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies. And all these things come together, what? So that God can be glorified. That is the point of this, of our gifts and the service that we bring is not to build ourselves up, but it's for God's glory. And if we're building up the body of Christ and encouraging one another, we're also glorifying God in that effort. Is Dave here today? He is here. The Servant Leader. This book was written by Robert Greenleaf back in 1970. When I went through business school in 2000, when I went back to school, this is still required reading in the business program. Here's some of the things that he says. While servant leadership is a timeless concept, the phrase servant leadership was coined by Robert Greenleaf in The Servant as Leader in his essay in 1970. Greenleaf said, "The servant leader is servant first. It begins with a natural feeling that one wants to serve first. Then conscious choice brings one to aspire to lead. That person is sharply different from the one who is leader first, perhaps because the need to assuage an unusual power drive or to acquire material possessions. The leader first and the servant first are two extreme types. Between them are the shadings and blends that are part of the infinite variety of the human nature. The difference manifests itself in the care taken by the servant first, look at this, to make sure that other people's highest priority needs are being served." Sound familiar? Vaguely it does. "The best test, and difficult to administer, is do those served grow as persons? Do they, while being served, become healthier, wiser, freer, more autonomous, more likely themselves to become servants? And what is the effect on the least privileged in society? Will they benefit or at least be further deprived? A servant leader focuses primarily on the growth and well-being of people and the communities to which they belong." Sounds very familiar on a secular level, right? Didn't Jesus say, "It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus, obviously, was the greatest servant leader. We are to be Christ-like. We are to give our life in service to build up the body. Equipping the saints. We'll be spending most of our time in Ephesians chapter 4, if you'd like to turn there. Ephesians chapter 4 on equipping the saints. Okay, we're to be equipped as saints. And I'm going to read this first from the New American Standard, but I'll be switching back and forth between American Standard and English Standard. "And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets, some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried away by every wind of doctrine, by trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body, building up of itself in love." So he gave these different positions. Who is doing the giving here? Who gave us these positions or these people?
God.
Yeah, back there. Oh, I don't have a verse. Yeah. God, Christ. In the previous verse here, it's talking about especially, it talks about Christ bestowing gifts upon us. So God, Christ, has provided these positions, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, to equip the saints. And apostles were What were the apostles are talking about here? Chirp, chirp.
Peter, Paul,
John. Okay. The apostles that Jesus himself chose. Do we still have the apostles today?
No.
No, but we have what? Jim mentioned it. We have the writings that they gave us. We still have the wisdom that they had. Prophets. This touches on some of the gifts Donna was talking about in Corinthians, and that you covered in the Corinthians class. What did the prophets, or those with the gift of prophecy, do? What did they provide? The teaching the word of God. Evangelist. What is an evangelist? Okay. Someone who speaks or preaches the word of God. A pastor. I thought a pastor was a preacher. Okay, pastor is a shepherd or an elder. There's a good point. There's a distinguishing here. A lot of, we forget this verse, or sometimes we're scared to touch on this verse. But a pastor is not just a preacher. A pastor is an elder or shepherd or overseer. And teachers. Now, Shane's contention, and I probably agree with him a little bit, is that in this, and that's why I like the New American Standard in this verse, that last grouping of pastors and teachers are combined. And if you agree with that, that's great. If you don't agree with that, talk to Shane when he gets back. No. But it doesn't matter either way, because one of the qualifications, as it were, of an elder is the ability or apt to teach. We have to be teachers. But there are some natural teachers that build on their gift. As Mickey said, we may have talents, but we need to improve and work on those talents. So all these people, he gave them to do what for us? He gave them to the equipping of the saints. So we know that we have gifts, and Mickey touched on this. We have gifts. How do we build on those gifts, or how do we equip ourselves to use these gifts? I played a lot of little league sports. I played flag football. Is Pat here? I ran into Pat Gill yesterday in the grocery store. He's talking about he'd just been to a flag football game for his grandsons, and he goes, it was not even organized chaos. He said, these kids are just running around doing everything. I played flag football 1 year, and I remember that even though I was very young. I remember I had no idea what I was doing, and I just ran when all the other kids ran. I didn't know what I was doing. But I did play a lot of baseball, and I played junior high football, believe it or not, because I'm the same size in junior high as I am now. So I was actually, I was a big kid in junior high, and then something happened, and they all grew, and I didn't. But I was an offensive guard and defensive linebacker because of my size. Now, when I thought of equipment manager, this is what I always thought of, and Leanne's been in high school sports enough to know that the floor manager is the guy who has to take all the stuff and get all the stuff out. But when you get to professional sports, man, how important is this guy? Why is this guy important? Oh my goodness, it makes all the difference. Because if these guys don't have the right equipment, someone's going to get hurt out there. So they're preparing. They're preparing these people for the job they're about to do, for the equipping of the saints. How do these people help? How does an evangelist help prepare or equip us? How are they equipping us?
Helping us understand the word of God better.
Yeah, give us greater understanding of the word. They're preaching the word. Now, everything he says up here is absolutely 100% correct. Hopefully, yeah, we need to be like the Bereans, search the scriptures to see whether these things are so. But they can provide insight on things that maybe we haven't thought about. Darren.
Does is not just read the Bible, they actually show you how to
Yeah, great comments. Put it in historical perspective first, and then how does that translate or apply to us today, since the cultures and things have changed, but the applications are still there for us. God has provided that. What are shepherds? Shepherds slash teachers, how do they equip? Watching over spiritual leaders, keeping them in line. There's another comment over here. Guide. Hopefully to teach, encourage, mentor. These are the type of things that we're supposed to be doing. To equip the saints. Who's doing the equipping? Scripture equips. Evangelists, shepherds obviously equip. Teachers, God's word, prayer equips us. Yes, Donna.
Holy Spirit
guides us. Who's doing the work? Not those same people. Yeah, that's the big gotcha, isn't it? Oh, thank goodness. We've got deacons, we've got elders, we've got an evangelist up there preaching the word. We are covered as a congregation. That's the point. We're equipping who? The saints for the ministry, the service, the work that's laid out before us. That's what the equipping is for. We can't do it all. You guys have to do the work, God's work that's laid out before us. And if we work backwards now, so we're equipping the saints for the work that needs to be done for the glory of God. Let's go backwards. Okay, if you guys are not equipped, what's going to happen? The saints can't work. If the saints don't work, what's going to happen to the body of Christ? Yeah, it's not going to be built up. And that's going to end up with being God is not glorified. God's not glorified. So I'm just sitting here in this pew. I really don't need to do anything. Well, I beg to differ. Because can one person make a difference? Yeah, absolutely. Was it the deal with Andrew in the Bible? We don't know a lot about Andrew, but what's one of the first things he did? He took Peter to Christ. He took Peter to Christ. Do we know a lot about Peter and his works? Oh, yeah. You may be the person that brings a Peter to Christ. Don't think that you can't do anything. You can have a huge impact on the work of God by your actions and by the works that you do. Italian's not here. Too bad. I believe it's Pareto, the Pareto principle. It's an Italian that came up with this. Pareto principle, also called the 80-20 rule, the law of the vital few, or the principle of factor scarcity. And it states, for many events, roughly 80% of the effects come from 20% of the causes. This is originally tied to economics. Business latched onto this model fairly quickly. What does it mean to us? Well, it carries through the 80-20 rule of volunteering. It holds that 20% of the people in any given community organization are responsible for 80% of the work. 20% of us do. Do you find that true in organizations that you guys belong to? PTAs? Okay, any type of group. There's always that small core that does so much.
Scouts.
I was a scout leader for 10 years. The first scout meeting that I went to, that was a good segue, by the way. The first scout meeting I went to was an information meeting. Information meeting. And I got snookered. I got snookered into being a co-leader. I quickly learned that my co-leader said, "This is my second round with scouts. I want you to experience it." So although she was a great help, I did the bulk of the work. And the great catchphrase in scout leaders is, it's only an hour a week. And then you learn it's only an hour a week per boy. Then it's only an hour a week per boy times their parents, then it's only, you know, it's never ending. But they do a great job of mentoring and growing their leadership. And I had a very successful two groups of boys that I brought through, Josh's age and Joel's age. And most of my, a huge percentage of my boys eagled out. That had nothing to do with my ability, nothing. I surrounded myself with good people and got everybody involved. That was a trick. So, leaders of the church, we try to surround ourselves not by hand-picking people, but by mentoring and equipping you guys to do the work. We're trying to surround ourselves, make good saints so that the work can improve. Jim. No, it's a great word. And it's the most effective way. It's the best way I know how to learn. I'm not the kind that can read and learn something. I have to be shown. That's my style of learning. But once someone shows me, I've got it for life. But I can't, I'm fairly book smart, but I have a hard time applying those things unless someone shows me the ropes, as Jim said. Show the ropes. It's building up the body of Christ. This is what should result in. If we go back to our scriptures in Ephesians 4. Here's the result. Verse 13. After the saints are equipped for the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Verse 13. Until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So it should result in unity of faith. Unity. Bible say much about unity? Yeah, a lot. Unity. There are a lot of lessons about unity. How does that happen? Because we're all learning and maturing at the same time. You don't have the quarrels and the disputes and the problems. Knowledge of the Son of God leading to maturity. But goes on. We need to be more Christ-like. If we fail, that's how I took verse 14 here. If we fail, so that we may no longer be children, which is inferring what? What state are they in?
Children.
Okay, they're immature. So we need equipping so we're no longer children. Tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, in deceitful schemes. Children tossed to and fro, unstable and deceived. How are immature, give me some examples of immaturity and being deceived by the craftiness and schemes of man and devil. Are there any? Yeah, everything you hear. Every little nuance or new thing that comes out. Man, that sounds good. Man, that sounds good. Oh, why don't you compare it to what needs to be done? Yes, Lori.
Or something that they're really interested in, like for instance, science.
Yes.
They read about it.
Yeah, that's why we need to really prepare our kids. And I think Shane does a good job of that. He's trying to expose us to different things. And some of the lessons he did early on creationism, he was trying to expose us to some of these arguments we might face. Donna.
Well,
Yeah, again, we're provided with those talents, like you said, and like Mickey said, we have to, not only, we need to employ those and build on those talents and make them work for Christ. Dean.
Something I've been thinking about, delivering just facts and data and just information and just laws and structure and commandments and definitions is one thing. You know, and I think that's something that here's the facts, here's the timeline, here, and people used to grow up, well, I know everything about the Bible, but they don't know why. They don't understand how that translates. And I'm glad to see that a lot of congregations have transitioned into why, mm-hmm. and the understanding, and the idea when you deliver a message, it's not just about 45 minutes of a data dump, just
right.
to fill your head. But it's the idea that, hey, let's look at these and struggle, and as a teacher, when you deliver that information, there's a difference between giving information and giving information that you actually want them to actually comprehend and obtain. You know, there's a difference in teachers. And just kind of looking at this, the idea is God wants us to have an understanding of the heart of all these things and not just the actual data points.
Right.
And that's what mentoring is versus just a teacher. We have those in college where, you know, all it is just a you either get it or you don't, I don't really care.
Right.
But as Christians, this is a relationship to where we do care. You know, we want everyone to understand and wrestle with that before.
Right. No, it's a good point. If we succeed, verse 15, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are able to grow in every way into him who is the head, even to Christ, from which the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. We're the body, we're every joint. Now that we are equipped as God's servants and part of the body, now we are equipping the body in turn, the body of Christ. Just as we try to grow toward Christ, the church as the body of Christ has to grow toward maturity as well. And it can only do that if each individual part or member is equipped to do their part for the gifts that have been given to us. When each part is working properly, it makes the body grow and so builds itself up in love. I've told this joke before, and I'm going to tell it again just because I love it and I have horses. It's a old guy driving out of town, goes into a ditch out in this remote area. Luckily, there's a farmer there. He brings this big old draft horse out there, hooks it up to the car, and the farmer starts to jingle it. He goes, "Pull, Nelly, pull." Nothing happens. "Pull, Blue, pull." Nothing happens. "Pull, Snippy, pull." Nothing happens. Now he says, "Pull, Buddy, pull." And the horse lunges forward, pulls the car out like that. The guy says, "What happened? Why did you call the horse by the wrong name 3 times? And he goes, "Well, old Buddy here is blind. And if he thinks he's working by himself, he won't work." And there's people here, and this is human nature. If we think that we're pulling the load all by ourselves, what happens to us eventually? You get discouraged. You won't pull anymore. You're tired. Okay? We don't want to burn people out. That's why everyone needs to employ the gifts that they have. Scripture I didn't get to was in Exodus when Jethro talks to Moses, and he's saying, "Man, what are you doing? You're burning yourself out. You're handling every little problem that comes before you." And he gives wonderful advice on how to disperse that responsibility. That's what we count on you guys to carry part of the load for the congregation. Thank you for your attention. Appreciate it. Shane will be back next week.